Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. In the studio, we have the Bach and Beethoven Experience. And that would be Brandy Barry Benson on fiddle. Yep. Thanks for joining us,
yes,
Brandy.
Thank you for having us.
And we have Tim McDonald on fiddle.
Thank you.
And we have singer Thomas Allen.
Yeah, right here.
How you guys doing?
We're great. Thanks for having us.
This is something I never thought that we'd do. So talk about the Bach and Beethoven Experience. And I read some background. I was doing my research. The best of both the sacred and profane. I like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, this particular program, we're jumping back into the Scottish swing of things. 2 years ago, we produced Scotland's first opera called The Gentle Shepherd, and we just couldn't get enough of their style. So we're going for it again this next week, bringing to light the saintly choral traditions of Scotland, and then also the drinking songs, the dancing, all the things you would expect, good stories that you would expect at a tavern. So,
The Gentle Shepherd, talk about that. I mean, the first Scottish folk opera. I mean, I don't know what I'm talking about. But
Right. Well, you know, we stumbled upon it.
Don't worry.
I actually stumbled upon it by accident. And just, you know, noticed that all the arias were based off of folk tunes, and that really intrigued me because I grew up playing fiddle alongside studying classical violin, and so it was really awesome to find a work that really combined both worlds. And so, getting expertise here from Tim McDonald, who's a Scottish fiddle champion, was certainly helpful as well. And we were joined by some really great forces, a great cast of 20 to put it on. So it was a really exciting venture.
And where did you put that? Where was it?
That was at the Old Town School of Folk Music. Uh-huh. And in fact, we sold out both of our shows, both there and at Theater Wit.
So. And then we also took it to Indiana, too, to the music festival in Bloomington. And also, we was standing room only, so it was pretty... Apparently, for not knowing
people
the Scottish opera,
yeah.
People liked it.
Yeah. Well, why is it? Where's that audience come from?
Well, you know, I guess I would have to say it would... You know, there's something very human about this opera. The music is so accessible. It rocks out. And then, of course, you have the story of a young guy who finds out that he's actually royal. And, oh, maybe he won't get to be with his Peggy, but then he gets to be with her after all. You know, it's a pretty familiar story. So people enjoy that. And, I mean, honestly, we had all types at the performances. Mm-hmm. So it was really great.
Yeah, so it was like people who like folk music, people who like classical music, people who didn't have anything else to do that night, people who like dancers, people who like instrumental stuff. So it really was all over the board.
Now, Brandy, you're from Texas?
Oh, yes.
What part of Texas?
Well, I'm from College Station, Texas, if you know where A&M, the Aggies, so gig 'em if you're out there, fellow Aggies. I was the black sheep of the family that went to music school, but I got a ton of Aggies in my family.
So how? I thought maybe you'd be into Bob Wills or something. But how'd you?
Oh, of course, I'm totally into him. Yeah. My fiddling background is in bluegrass mostly. So the Scottish.
Yeah, talk
thing
about
only
your
came.
Background. Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, you know, I started bluegrass fiddling in my early teens, and literally just went to the local barbecue joint once a week and would jam for several hours. And I learned by ear. And we had a monthly bluegrass show and jam at the local community center in Welborn, Texas, just outside of College Station. And I met a lot of really great folk, and they took me under their wings. And so, yeah, it was great, and it was relieving to play something that was very spontaneous, a lot of improvisation, and had a great tradition behind it.
Then how'd you segue into the Bach and Beethoven? Or was that always part of your
That was always, I love classical music too. I love Baroque music in particular. And so there is quite a lot that's shared between the Baroque world and also the folk world. And so I was really pleased to see that there were fiddle collections from the 17th and 18th centuries. And I just thought, well, that's why those, you know, get along, you know, that's why I have those two sides to me. So,
and same question really for Tim. How'd you get into this? Where are you from?
Sure. So I grew up in Pittsburgh and Honduras before that. And sort
Honduras?
Of Honduras. Yeah,
really.
That's right. Dual citizen. Proud
Catracho. What was that like? What was that like being in Honduras?
Terrific. I mean, totally, obviously a different culture than what ended up happening in Pittsburgh, but I learned how to play the violin in Honduras. Only knew how to talk about music in Spanish, which was a hard adjustment.
Uh-huh.
When I moved here. And when I moved here, I heard Scottish fiddlers at a competition and thought that was really cool, and started taking that very seriously. I found a private teacher locally, and then I started going to summer camp, where it's just week-long, overnight, playing nothing but Scottish fiddle music for like 16 hours a day. You have classes by day and a group class at night, and then late at night you have jam sessions until 2 and 3 in the morning, and then wake up at 8 and do it again.
Wow.
So through the fiddle world, I was always just curious about sort of the tradition and where it came from, and started poking around in books and then in PhD dissertations and so forth, just trying to figure out like what this tradition was and where it came from, and ended up sort of discovering the world of 18th century music, which is how I got met up with the BBE, is me looking at Scottish music in the 18th century, and they look at 18th century music that's Scottish. So it's been really, really fun to have sort of the two different angles at this interesting repertoire.
How'd you guys all meet? I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I'm just a bystander. Is this an acquired taste, or is a lot of people interested in this?
Oh, yeah. Well,
we all kind of fell into it a little different. Yeah. So Brandy and I have we think it's funny. Nobody else may think it's funny. But like we both were in Texas. She was finishing her undergrad, and I was starting my master's.
Thomas.
This is Thomas. Yeah.
And where were you at? What part of Texas?
Well, we were both in Dallas. Okay. But actually just north in Denton, because she was going to Texas, University of North Texas, and I was going to Texas Woman's University. And when I moved down there, I started teaching, and one of my co-teachers had introduced Brandy and I. This was in 2005, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And we were just in a car together for, I think, 2 minutes. And then four or five years later, the same friend came to Chicago, and we had both Brandy and I had moved here separately. And our friend came to Chicago for an audition, and she was like, hey, do you guys remember each other? And we were like, no, but that's fine. So we got together, we were in a car again for another 5 minutes. We met up, and we thought that was pretty cool. And then we were like, well, maybe we should hang out. But we didn't. And then another 2 or 3 years later, the same friend came to Chicago for another audition and reintroduced us for the third time. And then we were like, well, maybe we should just actually hang out this time. So that's how it ended up happening with Brandy and I.
Okay, we got to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and you're going to play a song.
Yeah.
This will be exciting.
Yeah,
okay, definitely. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN. Thank you. There you go. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal. That's the Bach and Beethoven Experience. I'd like to buy everybody on Michigan Avenue a drink. That's a drinking, thing. What a toe tapper that was.
Literally, yeah.
tell us what that about the song, the history of that song.
Oh yeah. Well, actually, this is a medley that two tunes we just smushed together. The first one is a version by James Oswald. He's from the 18th century, and then the second one is from Robert Bremner. Also same century, last pine ale. So you know, it was not uncommon to do that with tunes.
And what were the names of them?
Or? Oh, so the bottom of the punch bowl. And Tim, would you like to describe what that means?
Yeah, the bottom of the punch bowl.
Yeah, that's when you're drinking your punch, the alcohol separates and drifts down to the bottom.
No.
So if you just if you have your dipper cup and you're dipping from the tap, then that's bad punch, and you want to get a ladle on and scoop down to get the good stuff down the bottom of the punch bowl.
Yes, exactly. And then I think last pine ale speaks for itself. You know, hurry up and get your last call before the pub closes, right? Yeah.
Now, I mean, this is all kind of new to me. Where do you find these songs? I mean, you know, how do you decide that when you find a song, how do you decide to put it in your repertoire?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, I think sometimes the program comes out of just, you know, just looking around, finding things, and you see something and you're like, oh man, it would be cool to do a whole program of this stuff. I wonder if there's more. And then, you know, it turns out there is more. And what's great about these collections is that there are hundreds of tunes. So I mean, you can even just look at the index and see, oh okay, this one's about has alcohol in it, it's about to booze, good. And then you read the melody and see if you like it, and then like, hey, there you go.
This is literally last summer we did a whole program of drinking songs from Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and what am I missing, England. Mm-hmm. And like literally that's what we did, was like, what songs are about booze? And then that's, we programmed a whole thing about it.
Really? Really? Yeah. You played the Green Mill and stuff, right? I mean, where all have you played?
Yeah. So we've played the Green Mill. We've played at UIC, 4th Presbyterian downtown, Baroque on Beaver Island. That was especially fun. Across the Midwest, on the Northeast, too. We've played at the Beat Hotel in Boston and, New York, Hartford. So mm-hmm. we've played a number of places. Old Town School of Folk Music, of course.
And you'll be there on June 1st at 7:30.
At 7:30.
Talk about the program that
oh yeah, right. So the first set will open with the Scottish Sacred, so and then the second set will kind of just blow that out of the water and take everything to the pub. So we'll have the Heather and Thistle Highland Dancers joining us, Bella Voce, the premier vocal ensemble, is joining us. It's going to be really, really fun. We enjoy working with both of those groups a lot, and actually this is a return appearance of the Heather and Thistle Highland Dancers with us, so yeah, so it's gonna be great.
And there's a real appetite for this.
Oh yeah, yeah. Definitely. It seems. I mean, you can't help but move or tap your toe or drink some beer with it. I mean, you know. Yeah.
And you guys have a website?
Oh, absolutely. It's bbexperience.org. So for the Bach and Beethoven Experience.
Okay, we're gonna take a break with David Jennings in the news. You're gonna hang around and play a couple more songs.
We're happy to hang around.
I want to ask what the difference is between Beethoven and Bach.
So. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't go away for that. That's on Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
Here's to thy health, my bonny lass, guide night and joy be with thee. I'll come nae mair to thy bow door to tell thee that I love thee. Oh, dinna think, my pretty pink, but I can live without thee. I vow and swear I dinna care how lang ye look about ye. Thou'rt aye free in form in me, thou hast nae mind to marry. I'll be as free in form in thee, nae time hae I to tarry. I ken thy friends try ill means frae wedlock to delay thee, depending on some higher chance, but fortune may betray thee. I ken they scorn my low estate, but that does never grieve me. But I'm as free as any small siller will relieve me. I count my health my greatest wealth, so long as I'll enjoy it. I'll fear nae scant, I'll bore nae want, as lang as I get employment. But far off fowls hae feathers fair, and aye until ye try them, though they seem fair, still have a care, they may prove as well as I am. But at twilight night, when the moon shines bright, my dear, I'll come and see thee. For the man that loves his mistress will nay, travel makes him weary.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal. That's the Bach and Beethoven Experience, and that's Thomas Allen on vocals.
Yeah.
Man, what a great voice.
Well, thanks. That's my boy voice, as we call it.
Yeah, your boy voice. Two questions right off the bat. Again, I want the listeners to know the material, so what was that? Tell us about that song, the history.
Well,
two songs, probably.
Yeah, it was two songs. Yeah, so it was two songs, a little medley. So the first song is the fiddle tune name is Lagenburn, but Robert Burns' name to it is Here's to Thy Health. So a good toasting song, if you will. And then the instrumental is probably one of my favorite titles ever, Hit Her Upon the Bum. So not suitable for the Kirk, as it were.
And how old are those songs?
Oh, yeah. Also from the 18th century, and probably earlier. Yeah.
Thomas, where'd you learn to sing like that?
So I actually, I did my undergrad in music ed in West Virginia. And then I mentioned I went to Texas Woman's University, so I was down in Dallas for my master's.
Now, what was that? Texas Woman's
University. So, okay, so it's historically a woman's university, yeah. But Title IX actually worked both ways. So historically it was for women, but they had, since it's publicly funded, they had it open up to men in, I think, the 90s.
Wow.
So it was, even when I went to school, it was still like 90% women and 10% men, but there was a really great teacher
I got to go there, Dan. Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's a great place. Like, it's really beautiful. I had a great experience there. I would go back if they offered a doctorate, but unfortunately they didn't, so that's okay. Wow.
You guys are really interested.
Well, thank you.
I mean, I want to get back to the Honduras thing. I was just thinking about Honduras. I mean, to my journalist like detail thing. So you find a violin. I've been to Honduras only for a day or two.
Sure.
But what was it like to find instruments there, and how did this come to you in Honduras?
Right, so everything is more difficult.
Yeah.
We found a teacher who turned out to be very good, and he was in the National Symphony, so pretty small pool to draw from, and getting quality instruments is tricky.
Yeah.
My parents are American, and
what were they doing in Honduras?
They were working with the church as missionaries.
Oh, okay.
So we'd go back to the States to visit, and every time we went back, you know, they'd scrounge up some new violin for me to take with me down to Honduras, because of course when you're growing, you have like different sizes of violin that you work through.
And how old were you at this point?
When I was born there and lived there 9 years.
And so you were doing this.
And I started when I was four, so that's four. 5 years.
So your peer group at that time, what were they thinking? When they was there a lot of other people doing string instruments and stuff?
Yes, but they were older. It was pretty unusual for a four-year-old to start with the violin in Honduras at that age. But yeah, you know, I'd play in school, you know, first grade, second grade, and they all thought that was cool and that their classmate could come in and play, you know, little songs to them.
What were you playing? What was your repertoire?
You know, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
You were doing that?
Row, row, row,
your boat,
you know.
I know that song.
How are these classic virtuoso pieces? Yeah.
Let me ask you, this is a question I ask blues artists. When you, and of course, your material is even older. So how much of it do you respect the tradition and stay with the tradition? And how much do you try to modernize it and make it a contemporary sound? And how do those two worlds coexist?
Oh, sure.
Sure, I'll start. So sort of when you're playing this historic music, you know, we're all musicians first, but you have to be a researcher because, you need to learn about this. And all the research that I've done certainly indicates that the historic way of doing it is to be as avant-garde and as awesome and as, you know, pedal to the metal as you can be anyway. There's all these, you know, terrific accounts of people just doing crazy things while they're playing, or like the music moving people into the point of madness and... you know, they really knew how to party in the 18th century.
Like a Jimmy Buffett concert.
So, you know, my challenge as a performer is to, just working with an acoustic instrument, is to, like, incite the same energy and the same passion and the same drive that you would now associate with a rock show. Mm-hmm. Well, I just can't plug in.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, like, a lot of times, I think people, like, think of classical music and especially early music being very stodgy, but, like, we were talking about this earlier, we talk about this every day, but we were talking about earlier today is, like, you know, this stuff was the popular music of the time, so people were playing it in bars, they were getting drunk, they were, like, hooking up, like, they were doing everything that you would do at a Beyonce concert, you know, it was in the 18th century with this music instead, so it's meant to be fun and it's meant to be playful.
Yeah. You want
to... Yeah, I'll add to that. So yeah, just thinking too, so this is our very folk side, you know, as an ensemble, we do lots of different types of projects throughout the year. In fact, we do a big new music project in the fall called Chicago Stories. And
what's that? Talk about that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So that is probably our most dear to our heart project we do all year. We commission three Chicagoan composers to pick a neighborhood or community here in Chicago and gather stories from individuals from that neighborhood or community and write pieces of music inspired by those stories. And we do it all with period instruments as well. So that, you know, we get to experience a lot of the different composers here, their language.
Well, give us an example of how that played out.
Oh, so last year we had a composer, Eric Malmquist. He wrote about the Assyrian immigrant community, refugee community. He actually had interviews with two refugees from Iraq. And one of them, Iman, she told her story of basically traveling 19 hours, trekking through these crazy conditions to get to Iran, and then later ended up here through a series of events, and just having her in the audience, you know, and playing her story for her was just immeasurably. Yeah. I mean,
and his song was actually a verbatim transcript of their interview, like everything down to like the subtleties of her language. So it was really intense. Like Brandy and I were both on that particular performance, and like, of course, I was singing. So like, it's, I don't know if you've ever like had to sing or talk in front of like a funeral or in front of something that's very emotional, but like to tell this woman's story in front of her and in front of like a whole crowd of people, and then like within 30 seconds you could hear her and her daughter sobbing. I mean, it was the most intense musical experience, but the most rewarding musical experience of like our lives.
The power of music.
And the power of, you know, I can't think of a better time right now to just celebrate each other's backgrounds and stories. You know, we really need, you know, so this is a very, that project in particular is a pretty, say, like near and dear to our heart.
You guys have a great personality, though, to deliver this, to cross this quote unquote cross it over. You know
oh
what I mean?
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. I mean, well, we like to have fun. I mean, yeah. You know, part of the I mean, yeah. Part of the research, you know, we find out, of course, all of the nuances and conventions and subtleties that make help inform us to make it quote unquote modern or bring it back to life. You know, because modernizing it doesn't mean necessarily, I think, style. You know, changing styles, but I also think too. I mean, if you think about it, back then, having music performed, that was a very social event. That was where people rubbed shoulders with other people, that dance was involved, drink was involved, food was involved. But I think more importantly, the personal connection, having that opportunity to meet other people.
I just know in the blues world, I mean, there's always been a group of like purists who, like, when you go off into the Black Keys or even the Allman Brothers and were derivative, they always wanted to protect the real blues.
But. Oh, yeah. And we experienced that, too, in the bluegrass communities. I think any music community goes through that, you know, the traditionalists versus the progressives, if you will. And I think, you know, I think it's good to have that. I think both should exist.
Yeah.
I think it's a good tug of war.
Now, what happens when you go to a place like the Green Mill? I mean, do you have does an audience come find you there, or do you cultivate new people, you know, who might just be hanging around the Green Mill and stuff?
Yeah, we found that, you know, it definitely like cultivates a new crowd of people coming together. But, you know, more than anything else, which is also very important to us, is the vibe that it gives. And in Chicago Stories last year, we had opportunities for audiences to share in between pieces as well. And being in that kind of environment was more conducive. It made them more comfortable to do that and to experience the music the way they wanted to.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I think we're going to be able to fit in one more song. So this is really, really good. So thanks for coming down on a Saturday night. We'll be back with more on Nocturnal Journal. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. We're with the Bach and Beethoven Experience. That would be Brandy Berry Benson on fiddle, Tim McDonald on fiddle, and singer Thomas Allen. So you're going to do one more song, set up the song, tell us what we're going to hear.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So this is, I think, the true gem of the Gentle Shepherd. So we're going to throw in a nice little tune called The Kirkwood, Let Me Be. This is where Petey has just discovered he's actually of royal blood and might not get to be with Peggy. So he's a little heart torn, like, do I go off and be royal, or do I, you know, listen to my heart? So it's a great, like, heartbreak song. It's excellent. So.
Okay. Let's hear
plus a little instrumental at the end, the sailors all at the bar.
The sailors all at the bar. Okay.
Still
There you go. The Bach and Beethoven experience. And thank you. Thank you so much. Now, that was a great voice you had there. So you have a male and a kind of a female. You fool people,
voice.
Right?
Yeah, we joke that's my girl voice.
Yeah.
It's a fun game. Like, who's that woman? No, it's Thomas.
What a fantastic voice.
Thanks. Yeah, that's how it always kind of naturally was.
Do you sing in other genres, or is this...
So I actually, I primarily sing classical stuff. So I do a lot of Bach. And I do a lot of Handel, so I sing a lot of early music. And then I kind of segued into this stuff. I grew up in Appalachia, and I kind of ran
away.
Did
you really?
Yeah, and I grew up away from folk music. Like, I kind of ran away as quickly as I could, but then it's funny, I'm older in life, and now I'm like, oh, folk music, this is really awesome. Why did I ignore this for, two decades of my life?
Wow. So. You mentioned, I promised the listeners, for people like me on 101 on this, what is the difference between Beethoven and Bach?
Oh, gosh.
One's church, one's secular. I mean, it's about all I know.
I don't know. It's a very loaded question.
Yeah.
Besides, being a part of two different centuries, but, they helped develop, two different aesthetics. But, I would say actually the thing why, because, we get this question asked, well, why don't you play more of their music? And, the simple reason is really, we're really trying to channel in their mindsets and just how innovative they were. They are always trying to, break the boundaries and, they were masters of the old and of the new. So I think it, we just appreciate for everything that they did for history and learn from him in those ways. So, but yeah, that's a lot, take a music history class. There's a lot, even in a music history class, you can't really, unpack everything about that question, but it's, So
you teach adult violin at the Old Town School?
I do. I do. I teach. I teach mainly adults at the Old Town School of Folk Music. I also teach Baroque music at DePaul University.
At DePaul University, right? So. And you have one of my friends as one of your students. He told me today, Paul Zanke. Paul's great, isn't he?
Yeah.
Does he behave himself?
Oh yes. Yeah, he's great. Maybe we'll be fishing buddies.
I was going to ask you what's the difference between teaching adults and teaching kids?
Sometimes there's not so much of a difference. I think maybe just the references that you can make and the jokes you can do is a lot of it, but
it's great when adults take the opportunity to explore new things.
I'm always impressed.
New forms of music and new, I'm sure you all see that.
Absolutely.
You guys are such a great representative for what you did. See, this wasn't dry or boring. It didn't hurt.
We try not to be.
So we got Bennett. So plug the show June 1st and your website and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So June 1st, Friday, June 1st, come to Zolt Hall at the Old Town School of Folk Music, 7:30 p.m. You can buy tickets on the Old Town School of Folk Music's website and see a cool little video trailer. You can also find tickets or a link to that through our webpage as well, bbexperience.org.
Okay, well, thank you. The Bach and Beethoven Experience. I never thought I'd be saying that on WGN.
We like being the first.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
And that would be
us.
Brandy Barry Benson, Tim McDonald, and Thomas Allen on vocals. So thanks for listening. Thanks, Aubrey Mumpower and Dan Long. Thanks, John Saul, for riding shotgun. And we'll see you at the Camper Book Party on June 3rd. So thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.